when people really ask you, band, project, burrito?
Project and band. I mean, it's a little bit in between. We started as a band, so we were playing live shows before we were recording. And I think that's different than maybe some other artists. And then we kind of morphed, kind of merged our live sound with, you know, the songs we were making on our laptops. And eventually, you know, we arrived at where we're at today, and that keeps evolving. But there's three of us, me, James, and Nils, who are the main kind of core members of the band, but we always perform with a five-piece. So we got great drummer and bass player on the road with us this time as well.
But they're not necessarily on the recordings.
They haven't been in the recordings, but, you know, they're a part of the squad in a big way.
Let's see. We got your New York City. We got your grade school initially. Then we've got different high schools. But then there was an additional band member. But then there's a curfew involved. And then you linked up after college. See, I've covered it all, right? That's pretty much everything that's already out there.
I had kind of been in New York, and then I actually moved out to California and then came back to New York. So I've done a little bit of the bouncing in between. But it is a great place for a new band because there's so many places you can play at. And you can kind of, you know, get some experience playing at these crappy little venues and then hopefully work your way up to the
Mercury. So like, is Piano's like a crappy little venue?
That is a good little venue.
Yeah, maybe it's all right. It's like the hippest, coolest little venue, right? I mean, there's a hipster every inch there.
Oh, yeah.
We played 3 weeks ago.
So yeah, we played a very important show at Baby's All Right when we were first starting to kind of get some traction. There was a guy in the audience who we didn't know he was there. There were about 100 people at the show total, and the room was half empty. And we thought it was an okay show. And then a week later, we got an email with this guy. He said, you know, I'm one of the promoters of Lollapalooza. I saw your show. I want to invite you to play it at one of our festivals. So that was the Baby's All Right show was a very important milestone for this band.
Let's go way back to age 7, age 6, age 9, all of this really young stuff. A lot of us start really young, but where was that point where it really was turning into what this is today?
Much, much later. I mean,
because it's so easy for everybody's saying, so you started really young, you started when you were 7, but we all know. I mean, I had piano lessons when I was 9, but.
No, I mean, for us, I mean, James and I knew each other in grade school, and we both played the guitar, and we used to kind of mess around, and James had an older brother who wrote songs, so I think James kind of learned that from him and started writing songs at a young age. I just was into playing the guitar. You know, I was playing cover bands kind of through college and everything. And I went to school in Nashville where all my friends were like much, much better musicians than I was. And, you know, it wasn't. So I was kind of just doing it. I was just playing music for fun, but I was playing gigs, you know, playing in cover bands in New York. And then James had always written songs, original music. He didn't know how to play like any covers, but hadn't played in that many bands. But then Nils and James had a band in high school. But it wasn't really until years later when we were all back in New York and just kind of doing other things when, you know, we linked up again and said, like, hey, why don't we go jam? And James kind of broke out some of his songs and we just started playing those, all original stuff. And then we got into the home recording thing. And that's where we kind of got obsessed and started getting obsessed with the idea of, like, releasing our own original music and you know, making it a real thing instead of just, like, a hobby on the side with all of our friends.
Talk to me about the importance of lyrics and about, quote, character-based singing, because these are things in, quote, electronic music. Do them kids actually listen to the lyrics, and do they matter?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think for me, you know, it was growing up, like, the influence was always singers and vocalists that had really something cool and something special. And it wasn't always, like, that perfect, flawless voice, that like generic pop. It was like almost the more flawed, more interesting vocal.
Tom Waits,
Morrissey, The National, Modest Mouse. So that's like early on, like that's what I kind of connected with, was that vibe. And then mixing that with a lyric you can connect with, it like creates a, I don't know, just like a feeling of like this is a character and they're saying something special and unique and cool. And so that's where.
Not necessarily always autobiographical, but autobiographical pulled through a narrative, right?
Sure, through a narrative. And like you can be someone else. You can do a lot of acting when you're singing in a way. You can kind of like touch on a different emotion or pretend to be someone you're not or all of that. And that's kind of where the intersection of movies and narratives comes with us. Like we're all serious movie guys. I mean, hence the name, VHS Collection. So
the songs that I really like, and I've coined this phrase, I call them Tootsie Roll Pops. And here's what a Tootsie Roll Pop is. It's really sweet and crunchy on the outside, but then when you get through, it's really dark and gooey and kind of scary, right? Because you're chewing on this thing and you're like, all right, I got the cavities on the outside, but now this is really going to mess with my gums, right? So the importance of doing that kind of thing when people might have glow sticks in the audience because it's all kind of happy, but yet it's not.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's true. And I think, like, Waiting on the Summer is one of those where it's like, if you listen to it initially, it's a very happy, uplifting kind of message. But if you dive deeper into the, you know, verse lyrics and kind of some of what's being said, it kind of takes a little bit of a turn. It gets a little more interesting. Like, we thought about making it kind of just like this full kind of glossy pop, like happy-go-lucky, like idea and scene. And then we decided, like, that's just not us. Like, we need to counteract that kind of cool, fun, poppy chorus with some darker lyrics, and that was more us. So that's a good example of that.
Do you think that electronic music and jam band, that they really kind of in some ways are tertiary to each other? Because when you come right down to it, a great long remix is not that much different than a long jam band song.
For me personally, I've always just been into all these different types of music. I always just like going to shows, and I went through different phases. I mean, I was into hip hop originally because my brother was into hip hop when I was like growing up in New York. And then I went to, you know, when I went to high school, we all got into jam bands. And then I went to Coachella for the first time in college, and I was like, oh, all this stuff is awesome. And it has nothing to do with the jam bands that I was into when I was living in Nashville. And then I've always bounced back and forth in between, you know, like Phish is a band that we always listen to. I don't think any of that really shows up in our music now. But, you know, we all still, like, we'll go to a Phish concert every now and again, which is maybe not something you hear from a lot of bands in our genre, but that's just the truth. But I'll just add to that. I mean, I think in recent years, we became more interested in, like, production, whereas kind of in college and high school, I was into, like, jam bands and what they were doing live on stage, and maybe I just didn't have as much respect for what production was. And then recently, you know, I think, you know, bands like Phoenix or Daft Punk, or I think most people just overlook, you know, until you start to get into this, you realize like how deep you can go.
When people try to genreize this band, right? And, you know, them kids today, they need the genres because it's kind of like, because that's how they organize their playlists, right? How do you blow it up when you've got blogger after blogger, interviewer after interviewer, song, so you're an electronic band, so you're EDM, and you're like, no, we're a band that uses some electronic sounds, we start there, but then we go into the studio, and oh yeah, when we play it live, it's live. How do you blow it up?
Yeah, I mean, blow it up is an interesting term. I mean, how do we, you know, where do we paint ourselves? I mean, I think the evolution of it is kind of a blurred genre, right? Like, it's like a mixture of everything. All these genres are coming together, which is a cool part of where music is headed. Like, four on the floor, like, hardcore disco beats now are in every genre, which is kind of cool. So that's, like, fun for us. We like, we're definitely rock at the core. We have three pieces that we're always going to have in all of our songs, which is kind of like my singing style, Nils on the synth, and Connor's guitar. So no matter what happens, no matter what genre we touch in, we're going to have that kind of palette as the foundation. But within that limitation, we're able to do stuff that's a little more R&B, a little more traditional pop, a little more just heavy rock, a little more dance, a little more, you know, we can touch all those different genres, and we want to. You know, we want to do acoustic-y stuff. We want to do all this.
So we'll take a bunch of demos. We'll maybe get 15 demos, and then we'll kind of present them to the producer. In this case, Chris Zane, he'll kind of say, like, you know, I like these four songs, and then we'll spend 3 days on each of those songs where we're just going through and, you know, doing some rewriting and retweaking, but really making sure every sound is as good as it can be. So we'll re-record all the guitars and spend a lot of time, you know, getting those guitar sounds right and those guitar parts right, and then we'll...
So what you're bringing in are well-produced demos.
Well-produced demos, but, you know, still, there's still demos, and, you know, the difference between... you know, the demo and the final product is still significant. I mean, The song is usually complete. The ideas are usually complete. And you can hear the two next to each other and be like, oh, I understand, you know, how that happened. But yeah, I mean, to get a really good sounding song with really good sounds and, you know, a live kind of exciting feeling is not easy.
I've invented a thing called a musical sandwich. And it's two of your songs on the outside and then songs by anybody else you want to play in between.